Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to welcome you all to All Sides Weekend. And today we talk about the arts and culture in Central Ohio. And I have to say, first of all, that if you like to go out at night in Columbus, get your blackberry, blueberries, or cranberries, whatever you call them, out, and get ready, because there is a lot coming up to do. And my guests are here, the perfect people to tell you all about it, because all of them have opening nights. One has one tonight. So Peggy Kriadai is a diva, soprano, and general director of Opera Columbus. Welcome, Peggy Dai.
Welcome. Thank you.
Sherry Mitchell is executive director of Ballet Met, and Stephen Anderson is executive everything for Catco Phoenix. And Sherry, let's start with you, because we're talking about opening nights, and we're sort of in the midst now of the heaviest part, I guess, of the arts season, if history serves. What's going on tonight at the Capitol Theater?
Well, we are doing a program of all James Kadelka work, including The Four Seasons, which will be a company premiere. It's never been performed in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And it's set, of course, to Vivaldi's amazing score. And James is a genius. That's what I, at least that's what
well,
I think.
Who's James Kadelka, and why do we care?
James probably is one of the most noted choreographers, certainly in the United States and beyond. He was the artistic director of the National Ballet in Canada for 10 years, and he was at Le Grand Ballet Canadiens. He was Ballet Met's artistic consultant last year when we were searching for artistic director. And he has had his work presented at all of the major ballet and other companies. He's certainly based classically, but he can really span the different types of forms. So tonight when we open, we're doing The Four Seasons, Vivaldi, ballet, but with a contemporary edge. We're doing a program to all Johnny Cash music that he set, where the dancers are dancing in cowboy boots. And that is it's just fascinating to watch.
I could do that.
Yeah. And then another one to Ray Vaughan Williams' score, There Below, which is very sensual and just...
It's hot. It's a hot show.
It's hot.
It's hotter than Vaughan Williams ever dreamt that his music would be. So I want to talk a little bit with the three of you and throw it out there for our listeners as well about date night, because date night is a phrase one hears regularly. And since all of you have shows up and you're continually working and we want to get people to come out, Sherry Mitchell, she says to him, I want to go to the ballet. And he's like, are you kidding me? You know, rolling his eyes. But it's the third date and you want to get to second base. So it's time to take her where she's going. So what about the ballet? What about going to the ballet if you've never been?
Well, it's very, if we're trying to convince people who aren't sure and they think it's just all really pretty tutus, which sometimes it can be, but for this program, it's very, as I said, it's very sexy and sensual, very athletic. So if there's any man in your life who thinks athletes, dancers are very athletic. And my husband, the first time he came to the ballet with me, he kept like grabbing my arm and going, you know how difficult that is to do?
So. Well, I mean, I'm not a dance person, but I go to Ballet Met a lot and I sit there and I can't believe what they do, mm-hmm. what they do, the men and the women, the
yes.
way they use their bodies and the way they function in groups and they make pictures with their bodies mm-hmm. is something that I wasn't very familiar with. And certainly I became a convert. And I have yet, frankly, to see a tutu at Ballet Met, but I haven't been to Swan Lake yet or
right.
something.
We did
like
Swan
that.
Lake last month.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. And we're coming into Nutcracker season, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Okay.
Stephen Anderson has a show up right now about, as I understand it, an overworked New York actor who gets a job taking reservations in a fancy restaurant. That opens up a lot of possibility. Tell me about the show.
It does indeed. It's called Fully Committed, and it actually opens tonight, too. We share an opening night with Ballet Met and at the Rife Center, so it'll be the place to be. Jeff Hurst is starring in it. It's a one-man show. He plays 42 characters from Mrs. Watanabe,
wow.
who is Japanese and hasn't really mastered the language, to Carol Ann Rosenbaum Fishburne, who is a socialite and continues to harass him because she wants to get the best table and get it away from one of her rivals. So, and then of course there's Jean-Claude, who is the kind of Prissy Maitre d' and Stephanie, the lovely hostess.
The word boring and the word Stephen Anderson have nothing whatsoever to do with one another, and that includes your programming and your performances at CATCo. And I just got a rather snippy email from our producer saying, is it CATCo Phoenix or Children or what? So give me the proper name of the company again.
We are one now. We are CATCo, and CATCo is kids.
Thank you.
Thank
CATCo
you, Amy.
Is kids. We all wrote that down. You're in the Rife Center opening tonight with Fully
tonight,
Committed.
Fully Committed.
Jeff Horst is he's very funny. He's very talented.
Yeah,
he's
very
a wonderful
talented.
Actor. So yeah. You will go to that and think there's 42 people
you
on
do.
Stage.
You do. Yeah. Actually, it starts in very dim light as he starts answering the phones. So he comes in the door and the phones are ringing and he starts answering the phones. And it's like, are there two people that are there? Oh, there's a, and then he flips on the lights and he's doing it all.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
That'll be a lot of fun. That's great. And then you have a new twist on Christmas Carol coming. We're going to get to in a moment. But Peggy Dye, you've already opened one show and you're about to open another. You have one running now at Shadowbox. And tell us about that. What is The Merry Widow?
The Merry Widow. Well, The Merry Widow is about this very rich, sexy heiress who is being pined after by all these gentlemen. And the mob, I'm not going to say the story very well. It's so complicated.
You've tweaked the book a little bit, right?
Okay, so we twisted the story.
Good.
It's true.
Good.
We did for a new audience, for a young new audience, which is why we twisted it. So it's been interesting feedback. It's very different from the Bohème we did last year. It's funny. It's kind of, it's fast. It moves really fast, where Bohème had a lot of slow, romantic moments. This goes pretty fast.
If people have never been to Shadowbox, to the facility, and explain what that is and how a performance works there.
Okay, this is really cool. Talk about date night. It's free, first of all. Come on. So you drive up to Shadowbox, get there on a Saturday, maybe around 3, which is not too early for cocktails. Order some cocktails. Order some appetizers. Around 4 o'clock, the show will start. It's done by 5. And if you'd like, at that point, have dinner, go into a Shadowbox show. You know, it's a great evening. It's a really cool atmosphere. It's like a New York cafe, but cleaner and a little bigger. And the show fits perfect in there. And it's kind of fun to be that close to opera.
It's great because they sweat right on you, which is wonderful.
And they spit on you if
last,
you're lucky. Yeah.
Last year when you did La Bohème, the Musetta, who's the sort of fun girl in the show, sat on an older gentleman's lap and sang to him. And he just thought, he died happy, I'm telling you.
So let me get this straight. The opera selling booze, the ballet selling sex, and we're selling fun.
Fun.
Yeah. So sex, fun, and booze.
Right.
Yes.
Write this
That's
down.
The arts
What's
in
not
Columbus,
to love?
Right
That's
there.
The arts in Columbus. All the more reason to be going to these performances.
But we have some grisettes in Merry Widow.
A grisette is a
can-can girl / burlesque in the new show.
Yes, but you've updated it, so I bet she wouldn't be in petticoats and things.
No, not quite.
I can't imagine. So if you want to really know, you have to come see the
you
show.
You really do.
Okay. So you have about an hour's worth of an opera by Franz Leha.
That's right.
Which has been long loved, loved in sort of Viennese touch here, but you've sort of changed it.
We have, but I tell you, the music is true.
Yeah.
And it's very Viennese, and we were very careful to keep the music exactly as you would see it in the opera house. And then it's kind of cool when it comes on because you're like, oh my gosh, this is the real opera. And then immediately goes into the dialogue and the grisettes come out and it's like, this is not opera. So it's a neat twist for everybody.
So you're giving people something that's good for them, but they don't know it's good for them.
That's right.
They don't need to know that as well, right?
Yes,
that's right. So that's continuing. Give us an idea of when people can go and see
that. Okay, so it's Saturdays at 4, Sundays at 5. Make your reservations at Shadowbox and we go all the way through November 17th, leading up to our main stage show.
Which we'll get to in just a moment.
Okay.
I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about the arts in Columbus. We're talking about a very busy weekend, but it's not limited to this weekend. There's a lot more going on. We're sort of running full blast now until June, as far as I can tell. Sherry Mitchell's here from Ballet Met, Peggy Kriya Dye from Opera Columbus, and Stephen Anderson, who was my first favorite elf in Columbus, Jeff Horst being the second, who is the director of CATCo is Kids.
CATCo,
thank you very much. Steve has an opening tonight, and so does Sherry Mitchell have an opening tonight. Who comes to Ballet Met?
Well, I think we have a very diverse audience, and because our season, from a Swan Lake to, this more contemporary work, Symphony in C, Nutcracker, of course, has probably I don't think I've ever seen as diverse an audience at any arts organization, from, you know, children to grandparents and date night. And that's a very big date night. I'm surprised every year how many people have their first date, or whether it's college, high school, a little bit in the 20s. And I think I might have said this once before, but we've had so many wedding proposals. Then they want to do it at Nutcracker, because often they've had their first date at Nutcracker.
Good, make them pay. You can, that's a cash cow there for you, sure. Well, you can put it up on a big screen or something and have everybody sort of, or have the wedding in the middle of the show.
You get a lot of college students, as well as, you know, older people and families sometimes, couples. And with this program, talking about what Stephen was just talking about, James Kadelka is known as the love, sex, and death choreographer. His three favorite themes.
That's very operatic, Sherry.
It is.
When each of you program, is it important to get people out in a reasonable time? I mean, if it's Wagner, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking, you want people to have the rest of the evening? Do you? Because 4 and 5 is a great time to be doing the thing.
It's great, but we're conscious of that. We only do one intermission for Butterfly coming up, so. You know, that is something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I'm just wondering if that would further encourage the city to have things going on at 10:30 of a weekend night when people are just getting out of the shows.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've started doing, when we do two performances on a Sunday, and that's not always, we now do 1 and 5:30. And the 5:30 has become very, very popular instead of just doing a 2. Or what we used to do was maybe a 2 and a 7. On Sunday, we found that very helpful to
so
do
I'm
that
coming
5:30.
I'm coming on Sunday, so I'm coming at 1?
Right. No, it's at 2 because we're just doing one performance this Sunday.
Forget what I said. and Stephen's funny. Katko's funny anytime, but you have, is it Thursday, Friday, Saturday? How are you doing?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
With a Wednesday 11 o'clock show, which is very popular.
It is very popular. Yeah.
And I think we're all continuing to experiment with what are changing tastes, what works for people now. It's such a now kind of culture. Mm-hmm. Well, but we at Katko are trying to figure out, I mean, from the 1st of April until Labor Day, we only had 2 weekends we didn't have shows running. Yeah. And so what we're doing is working towards a time when people will say, what's playing at Katko, not does Katko have a show?
Right. Mm. Hold that thought. We're going to take a little break and come right back. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about the arts and the weekend and date night. I'm Christopher Purdy. Don't go away. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy, back with Peggy Kriya Dai from Opera Columbus, Jerry Mitchell from Ballet Met, and Stephen Anderson from Katko. We're talking about the arts and culture in Central Ohio, particularly this and just about every weekend and every week between now and the summer. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. The phone number one more time, 292-8513. Last night, the Columbus Symphony did an experiment. They had a free concert, no tickets required. They had free food and a cash bar. And the doors opened at 5:30. The show was at 6:30. You were out by 8. I didn't know if anybody would come to this because we're not used to that here. There was a wonderful house, wonderful big house. And I saw a lot of people I'd never seen before. So clearly they were on the right track with that. They heard a terrific concert. Is this kind of a model something that people are thinking about that could work, that, as part of a regular schedule to have an early performance downtown, maybe on a weeknight? Mm-hmm. Stephen?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, you said that it was three quarters full last night. I mean, we find that the cabaret setting is working really well for us. Mm-hmm. That's 75 seats, cafe tables, and we did Forbidden Broadway that way for 8 weeks, completely sold out.
Not an empty seat, right?
Not an empty seat.
Right.
So the interesting thing about Central Ohioans is, though, that they don't want to sit with somebody else at the table.
That's true.
You know, so we're trying to figure out dynamic just pricing so that we could say, okay, if you want that, that's going
to
be.
That's not limited to Central Ohio because I went to La Boheme and I got there an hour early and there was no seats. Mm-hmm. No seats. So I sat with another couple and some people who didn't, you know, and it was, but they got liquored up, so it was fine. it was just wonderful. But you're quite right. But I think it's, there are all kinds of ways to make that problem a lot mm-hmm. more fun, mm-hmm. to, a mm-hmm. lot more manageable to deal yeah. with. Now, in terms of, we're going to get to Opera Columbus's main stage or mm-hmm. big stage production in a moment, but is also, just go around the room here, is the way we deliver our your services, your performances to the public, and that's a new verb now that's being used all the time. Has to be changing somewhat. Is that good? Is that bad? Is that something you all are all working with?
Mm-hmm. I think it's great. First of all, it's pushing us right out of the box. It's forcing us to think differently, to progress, to move the art form forward. I think it's all good. So for opera, we've got lots of opportunity for that, and we're trying to bring it up close is kind of the tactic we're taking.
You mean literally, too.
Literally,
I mean, yeah, which
on
is
your
great.
Lap.
Yeah,
well,
standing
closer
right next
than that.
To yeah, not yeah. really. So it's fabulous. You know, we're trying to leave the theater and the stage and come out to the public, which sounds like that's what the symphony are doing as well, you know, bringing the public, making it more accessible. It's just important. We're in a time where we have to build our audiences and we have to think differently.
I think the model of sitting in the dark, watching something in mm-hmm. silence is probably gone, for better or for worse. And that's certainly how I was raised. I mean, you went, I remember being taken as an 8-year-old to Symphony Hall in Boston and the list of rules that the nuns gave us. I mean, you don't right. clench anything. You don't move. And, you know, and mm-hmm. that was the culture then. And hopefully mm-hmm. that's not true now. Sherry, how about yourself for Belly Met?
Well, you know, and Christopher, you've been to our performance space. And when we
I
opened,
love that. I
know,
love that.
And that's very up close and personal. And it's just a whole nother way to not only to view, but to truly feel involved mm-hmm. in the dance. And you do feel the sweat mm-hmm. and you hear the breathing when you're in that space and you understand, you know, what they're doing. But that has, we found that a lot of people really enjoy that, and people maybe who have been hesitant about going, you know, to a big production will come there. And I know a lot of us do that, and we do free open mm-hmm. rehearsals every mm-hmm. month where people can come in and see the process and talk to the artist, hear some, you know, questions back and forth, and those are free. And that's really opened it up. And when we were hearing about the symphony's decision to do this 6:30 free concert, I was talking to Edward Liang, our artistic director, and he's wanted to do ballet and beer performances.
I love Edward,
so,
man.
And
great.
I said, hey, that's perfect. We can do ballet and beer at the performance space and have a great time.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I look forward to that. Certainly,
yes.
We all do. And Stephen, you've long pioneered different ways of reaching the public.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, when I began my career, it was we are the arts. You should come.
That's
that
right.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. You should come. And what's the matter
and
with you?
Good
you don't
for
come.
You.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was
like liver
it was medicine.
Yeah.
No, it was like liver oil. It was. Right. And we've all kind of found ways, I think, to collaborate together. The mm-hmm. work that I've had the great honor to do with Ballet Met.
Right.
And I didn't know about the ballet when Gerard first called me and he said, "Would you like to collaborate?" I said, "Well, the last ballet I saw was 1973." And he said, "Well, I wasn't asking you to choreograph."
Yeah, dance.
But I found myself to be a great lover of the ballet once I had an entry point. And that's yeah. the key, I think, mm-hmm. is finding
right.
an entry point. Yeah,
you know, I was, and your performance space, Sherry, on your site was my entry point. And mm-hmm. then when I went to see your larger theater productions, I realized that perspective is everything from where you sit for ballet. And you can see a different performance in the same night if you move around
that's
a little
true.
Bit, which really isn't true for any other art form so much. Okay, it's time to talk about the new Opera Columbus, mm-hmm. which is, by the way, Peggy Creadai, who was running Opera Columbus, is a wonderful soprano, and she will be appearing at Pro Musica.
That's right.
In a Mozart Mass? Yes?
Yeah, in February.
Okay, so she sings, she dances, she's gorgeous.
I don't dance.
And she runs an opera company, and she's wicked mean. So anyway,
yes,
right.
Don't
so
forget it.
What's going on now with Opera Columbus?
Okay, so it's the return of locally produced opera for Opera Columbus. This is huge. 3 years in coming. I think when I make the announcement on the stage for opening night, I'm just going to cry.
Good.
It's just so exciting. So many people have worked so hard to get us to this point. So Madame Butterfly is what we're going to open with. And opening night is November 22nd. And we also have a performance, afternoon performance on the 24th. So it looks as if right now, Saturday is going to sell out. So really, call, get your tickets now, because it's a big event for us. It's huge.
Tell people about Madame Butterfly. People might know that it's very sad, and she's a geisha girl, and she dies. But why does she die? What's going on with this?
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. You just gave it away.
Not really. No, I mean, there's more to it than that.
No one's going to come now.
No. Love and death.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a little sex in there, too, as I recall.
It is, yeah. A little bit. Off stage.
Very little, by the way. Yeah.
What's kind of neat is because I took a different approach a little bit with this show, because it's in the Southern Theater, which is very intimate. And I thought, what a great opportunity for us to have it really focus on the drama, because you can really see their faces. It's really, we got some young singers in there debuting their roles. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful characters that they've created. We have an extra long rehearsal period in order for them to take the time to develop the characters, not just sing beautifully, which they do, I must say.
Well, I know three of your singers, and they do. They're just stunning. So that'll be terrific. Tell me about the young woman who's performing Madame Butterfly for you.
Oh, I adore this woman. Her name's Preeti Gandhi. She's from India originally. She's sung with the San Diego Opera quite a bit. She started out as a mezzo, which every good butterfly usually does,
right?
Because you need that low middle in your voice. But she's young, so she has that youthful, color, bright sound
she's
in
gorgeous.
The top of her voice. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. No wigs. I mean, she's just, her hair is fantastic. I mean, you just come to see her hair.
If you got good hair, you got everything.
I'm sorry. Hair and high notes. And the Pinkerton is someone you'd leave your family for. He is, actually. You know what I mean? Like, he's gorgeous.
He's the cad naval lieutenant who jilts the little innocent young Japanese girl.
How
right?
many Pinkertons have you seen?
Not
that you're
many.
Like, yes, I get why she
yeah.
leaves her
and especially
family.
Once in a while, they would take their shirts off, and that could be on unfortunate
like,
for some
do
of these
it.
Tenors.
Yeah, yeah, here you're going to be asking.
Okay. Well,
they're gorgeous people. They're singing it beautifully. The story is heart-wrenching. So he leaves her, and she's left thinking he's coming back for her. She has a child, which he doesn't know about. So here she's, and she names the child Sorrow. Isn't that sad?
Dolore.
Yes, Dolor. So she names the child Sorrow, and she waits 3 years for him to come back. Finally, he does come back with his American wife for the child only.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay.
She doesn't handle it well
now,
at the
some
end.
Point, I admit, and I love Madame Butterfly, but you do want to go up there and slap her upside the head and say, listen, honey, he's not coming back. All right. Let's
sad.
Come on. It is sad. Yes.
But she
beautiful.
Believes. She believes he will.
Puccini's music, very beautifully done, sung in Italian with titles above the stage.
That's
I'm
right.
Sure.
Beautiful conductor, Kostis Poropapas, who is the artistic director of Tulsa, is conducting
okay,
in the pit.
Terrific. So that's great. That's November 22nd and 24th. And that's a very special, as you said, night. For Opera Columbus, mm-hmm. because it's sort of like graduation or the new
this
company.
This is the time to come.
Right. And a lot of the leading singers live here.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All but two.
Okay. Well, terrific. We look forward to that. Thank you for that. So let's talk now about audiences.
Well, I think that's something really important, what Peggy just said.
What?
Coming from here, living here, being mm-hmm. a part of this community, how important that is.
Yeah. We made a point of it. And I'm telling you, had I heard the right butterfly in this town, she would be singing on the stage. I just didn't when I did my auditions. Maybe next time I will.
Show up next time if you can sing Madame Butterfly.
Yes.
Come on. It's not Peggy's fault if she hasn't heard from you, so come on.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of great local. And they're in the Merry Widow, too, all local.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also at CATCO. And we tell people all the time, it's like, our dancers live here.
They all live
here,
yes.
They're from all over the country, the world, but they have selected.
They're part of Columbus.
And they're part of Columbus. You know, they have homes here. Many of them are married and have children here. And, they're part of the fabric of our community.
I made the point last night with the symphony of saying to this audience, probably a lot of new people, I said, these are the folks behind me who not only play beautifully here every weekend, but they teach your kids. And they are part of the reason they are a big quality of life point for living in Central Ohio. And you can see them and hear them. They're right behind me. And all of you have that as well in your companies. So, really think about it as you go to this and as you pay tickets that you're sometimes looking at your neighbors doing wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's talk more about dance. And I want to just, when we think of ballet, I ask you this all the time, but I'm working hard to kill the stereotype of people on point, skinny people on point. So with leotards and little dresses. So what ballet now for doesn't that is part of it, but there's a lot more to it now than there may not have been 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of crossover and integration of different approaches to dance, and our company and many of the great ballet companies certainly have all of that technique and that training, and a great ballet dancer often can do and things with their bodies and in all different types of forms, so they can take it and twist it and change it. And, you know, we really do look, not just ballet met, but certainly we do look to have that real mixture of, if I would say, contemporary with the classical. Mm-hmm. So classical masterpieces, which, you know, sell very well. And when you see a dancer, and I think it's really important. So when we just did Swan Lake, I mean, one of the great ballets, those dancers are stronger now than
they
were.
Are, yeah.
And I mean, it's just like probably singing mm-hmm. something that really, you know, challenges you. Mm-hmm. And so now they can do so much more. And you can appreciate, you know, the story and the narrative and the big classical ballets, and then turn around and, like I said, see, you know, people dancing in cowboy boots and jeans, and that's what they're doing. So you have this whole mixture of costumes and approach to dance. And I think that it used to be modern dance over here, ballet over mm-hmm. here, jazz maybe over here. And
not
that
anymore.
It just flows right. And integrates.
Do you know what really struck me? I saw her rehearsal of Four Seasons. I sat in a rehearsal, cried by the end. It was fantastic. But what really struck me was I felt like I was watching a play. I mean, they were acting.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it was like, I mean, right, their face, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were putting out emotions as well as doing this amazing feat with their bodies. I mean, it was, I was so amazed by that.
That I think that's when you were talking about the characterization for having the extra long rehearsal period. And I'm really excited to see Madame Butterfly, because you want to see great actors mm-hmm. as well as singers. And that is true in dance. I remember the very first time I saw when David Nixon, a couple of artistic directors ago, did Swan Lake. And I had just come to the ballet and I went, oh my God, I said the same thing. I said, mm-hmm. David, your dancers are some of the best actors mm-hmm. I've ever seen, mm-hmm. you know, and I was coming from a theater mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a very good point.
Nutcracker season is coming, and Stephen Anderson's doing a Christmas carol. Stephen Anderson being Stephen, there's a little twist to this Christmas carol at Catco. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, it's written by the guy who did the 39 Steps, so that tells uh-huh. you a lot about what it is. It's it is a traditional Christmas carol, but it's not like you've ever seen it before. Tiny Tim is a marionette. There's some a cappella singing that is just amazing. Our apprentice company is going to be in it, as well as five local actors.
So you're casting that locally?
We're casting it locally. There will be one non-local person on our stage this mm-hmm. year.
Really?
Wow.
Everything? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know Jeff Horst lives here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff lives here. And Matt Clemens will be starring in the Christmas Carol, along with Ken Ernie and Danny Mann.
Oh, wow.
So it's a real coming home, and we have a very talented apprentice company as well, which is a big move that the acting apprentices. Catco always had production apprentices, but this apprentice company does everything. They sometimes are down in the shop building. They sometimes run the shows. They are always ushering. Used to be that we had ushers who would come in and they didn't really know anything about the show or the company, and somebody'd say,
"It's a musical."
Really? And somebody'd say, "Oh, it's such a beautiful set. Did they build that here?" And they'd say, "Oh, they can't have. They must have brought it in." And it just drove me crazy, because, you know, I mean, there's a whole it's the whole creation of the work that happens there. And so now the ushers are the apprentice company, who you may have seen on the stage last show. And so in fact, one of the apprentices is the understudy for Jeff. And he was a great favorite from Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Oh, yes.
Jeff
A.L.
Bondurant. And somebody heard that and they said, "Well, could you make him be sick so I could see you do it?" So they've developed a little fan
club
themselves.
Throw Jeff down the escalator.
Really? Yeah, really?
The right
really?
Center.
Yeah,
yes. No. Don't do that. No,
absolutely
no,
not.
No, no. Well, Cherry, Nutcracker is just something that the public loves. But I often wonder if a dancer, if I dance this damn thing one more time, I'm going to kick somebody. Really, I mean, because you probably do 30 or 40 performances in 2 weeks. So let's talk about the Nutcracker, because everybody does love it, and there's a reason for that. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful, and it's talk about an entry point for many people to dance. And sometimes they maybe don't know they're going to dance. They just know they're going to the Nutcracker, but then they realize it shortly after they arrive. This summer I heard the music wafting up to my office, and I went, already I'm hearing Nutcracker. So we auditioned the children for Nutcracker September 7th, mm-hmm. I think it was. And so they've been rehearsing, and we have our professional company of dancers, which there are 28 this year. And then there's another, I think it's 136 of our students will be involved in Nutcracker. So
what are those rehearsals like when you have little kids all the time?
Yeah. You know what I really love to see? You see the children rehearsing early, and of course the company is rehearsing. But when the company and the children come together for their rehearsals, which will start happening here right after we close the Four Seasons, right after the 16th of November, it is, well, first of all, it's chaos at first, but I am just always so impressed with our company dancers, mm-hmm. and how they really mentor and welcome. And these kids are, of course, in awe.
Some of them are tiny, too.
Yeah, some are young, and then we have the teenagers, and they really provide such an inspiration for the young people. And it's great.
The young dancers are so disciplined, too. When I did Alice in Wonderland with the ballet a few years ago, there were four Alice's, and they would stand practically in first position for an hour, not move a hair. And I commented on it, and Gerard said, oh, wouldn't young actors act like that? I said, no. they certainly would not.
It's what happens in the studio.
I can't stand up for an hour, never mind any kind of position, for goodness sake. My goodness. If you'd like to call, 292-8513. We are having kind of a great time anyway, but you're welcome to call and try. allsides@wosu.org is the email address. If you'd like to send us an email, you can also find us on Facebook. We're going to take a quick break and come back in 90 seconds. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, the Arts. Thank you to our producer, Amy Jurnovich. I'm Christopher Purdy. I want to reintroduce my guest, Peggy Kriya Dai, who is the executive director of whatever they call her. I don't know. She runs Opera Columbus, and she's fearful. Sherry Mitchell is fearful, too. She runs Ballet Met, and Steven Anderson runs whatever they're calling Catco these days.
And I'm just afraid.
And they're just... All of them have performances going on this weekend. All of them are looking forward to other opening nights. Two of them have opening nights tonight. Ballet Met is at the Rife Center with the Four Seasons. James Kadelka's choreography and Steven Anderson's program is tonight at
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. One man. Now, why would I go to a one man show and spend money
because
to see one actor? Why would I do that?
40 people. You'll see 40 people. It's a cast of thousands, and it's a very intimate space.
And give us a little bit of rundown again if people just came into the show. What's it called?
It's called Fully Committed, and it is about a reservation clerk at a five star restaurant in New York, and it's all the people trying to wheedle, extort, bribe to get good tables.
Is it like Sister Mary Ignatius, where at the end she shoots and kills all her students, or no? No. Well, I mean,
actually,
I didn't make that up.
It is hysterical, but it also has my two favorite things are to laugh and to feel something.
Right.
And this has both.
Great. And that's tonight, opening tonight.
Opening tonight.
Thursday through Sunday
through the 22nd.
And then you have the Christmas Carol.
Carol opening on the 4th. Fully Committed runs through the 24th. Christmas Carol opens on the 4th and runs through the 22nd of December.
Oh, so you did it on purpose.
So they're impossible to remember. Just go to the website.
Catco is theater. Just go to the website or just show up of a Thursday or Friday night with your wallet in hand and you'll have a great time. Because the Christmas Carol, Scrooge, etc. is going to be there, but there may be a few little touches you don't know.
It's an entirely different and enchanting story.
Are you directing
story.
It?
I am not. Joe Bishara, our associate producing director,
Wonderful.
Is doing
okay.
it. And
right.
they begin rehearsal tonight.
Now, Sherry Mitchell, Peggy, was telling us earlier that a lot of people have date night at Ballet Met, and they actually propose and get married as a result of Ballet Met. Madame Butterfly might be a hard sell for that.
That is not true.
No.
That's
okay,
not true.
Go ahead.
Have you, you've heard this music. Come on.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
the music is extremely romantic, and they do get married.
It is a happy moment
for,
you know, he sticks around for half an hour.
It's a fabulous duet.
Yeah.
It's very romantic.
And some point, a baby
is
conceived.
Sometimes that's the most you
could ask for. During the intermission, I guess a baby is conceived, but then, you know.
That's right.
We don't see
that. He ends up being three at the end of the opera. But no. This is a chance. You want to impress your date. You get all dressed up. You go out for cocktails downtown. You go for dinner, maybe. You walk into the opera. You smell good. It's all good. It's a perfect date night.
Have a little champagne.
After. You can even have a drink there. Have a glass of wine. Take it to your seat.
That's a new thing at the Southern Theater, apparently.
Now, it is.
I don't know if y'all are doing that, but we're bringing our food and drink into the theater to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. And whatever makes you feel good, that's terrific. You have the Columbus Symphony in the Pit for these performances?
I do.
Yeah.
Fabulous. I'm very happy about that.
Tell me about this conductor, because I don't know him.
Costis. He's been at Tulsa Opera. He's the artistic director there.
I once got arrested there years ago at Tulsa Opera, but I'll tell you off mic.
Really? Yeah, maybe we should be talking about that.
Yeah,
sounds
go ahead.
Costis is a Greek god, and he really is.
You can you see him in the pit?
You can.
Oh, good.
Oh God! Why do I bother?
he's such a fabulous conductor, such a romantic conductor. He feels every inch of this music. I love watching him rehearse, even with the chorus. Nothing gets by him. He cares about every note.
Does he cry during it? Because some conductors do. They start weeping during the.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. No, he's a fabulous conductor. He's been at Tulsa for a long time. Started out as the chorus master there, then as assistant conductor, and now he runs the show.
Who's staging it?
Her name is Crystal Manich, and I used to say up and coming. I think she's just coming now.
She's there.
She's fabulous. She's been assistant director at the Kennedy Center for a long time with Washington National, and she made her Boston Lyric directing debut. She just did an Aida in Pittsburgh. So she is fabulous. Young, lots of new ideas. She has a twist in this Butterfly. Oh, you're going to see it, and you're going to go, what?
I've never thought of that before. Okay, well, look.
There really is. There's
casting
a twist.
An 80-year-old woman as the child, I think, is brilliant.
Yes. Makeup.
Yes. Well, you're right, though. It is a perfect, it is very romantic. You can cuddle up to this music, if you know what
there
I mean.
Is.
Wink, wink.
You're going to be surprised, though, at one scene.
And you can do it in the Southern Theater. We don't care as long as you pay to get in. So that's Madame Butterfly at opening the 22nd of November.
That's right, 22nd and 24th.
What do you have
go
in the
twice.
Spring coming up?
In the spring, we have Pirates of Penzance.
Yay.
For all you fun families out there. Buy your tickets. Actually, just get a subscription.
Get a
then
subscription.
You can go to everything.
You can bring the kids to that one.
Bring a
whole van full of kids to Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I don't know, I cannot foresee when we're going to be able to have New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players back, because we really are going to be producing from here on out. We just needed to take baby steps this year. So this is it. You need to come see it, because they do it better than anybody.
Might you sing?
No, I might not.
Okay. Stop and sing. And Sherry's not going to dance, and Stephen does act and direct, so that's okay. That's he can do that there.
Coming, though, maybe in the future.
But we are going to have the opportunity to hear Peggy sing this year, right?
We are. Yeah. Tell me again, that's Pro Musica, right?
In February.
Mozart?
I'll be bellowing away. Yes, Mozart Mass in C minor.
They did Carnatus Est, the big soprano.
No,
aria.
I'm soprano, too. I'm La Dalmuste.
She might get sick. You could sing both.
I'd rather just sing La Dalmuste.
Okay.
No, but that's sort of like what's happening here in Columbus now, is that everybody used to be, I didn't know what Sherry was doing. Who cared? Yeah. It was the ballet or the opera. It was now we're so intimately involved in each other's lives, and the audiences are much more intimately involved in what we're doing. And it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
We have some really wonderful things happening with Edward. And
the collaborations have been going on for a while, and I think they're just becoming more rich
and deeper collaborative initiatives. Mm-hmm.
Good and bad, what kind of feedback? You told us a story, Stephen, off mic, and I know you're not going to give us specifics, but there was something I want you can tell us this story without giving us specifics about feedback you got from a subscriber and from what kind of feedback do you get one-on-one? Do people walk up to you and say yes or no or whatever?
Well, you know, I don't know about Sherry. I mean, our audiences are because we have a 220-seat theater and a 185-seat theater, so it's much easier for me to talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm there every night that we perform, and I talk to people, and I ask them what they're seeing, mm-hmm. and I ask them what they think. And, you know, I mean, the time of the merger was tricky for us, and it was important for me to be there mm-hmm. so that people could say, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm sure, Peggy, you had the same situation when, you know, when the opera was changing.
Still, and, I mean, with Mary Widow, I go to every performance. I talk to every table. Mm-hmm. So I go around and ask their opinion about opera, what they think, and I stand in the lobby after every performance.
What are they telling you?
Good, bad, ugly. Lots of good, though.
I'm sure there are.
And lots of opinions. It's important for me because I don't know the audience as well as I'd like to.
You're getting there. You're certainly,
I'm trying. I'm really trying.
But that's how we're going to become a really smart art town. Mm-hmm. Is for us to
listen
to listen and to have the conversation and not just expect people to say, it was fabulous. Because we don't get better.
Right.
That way. We don't. We simply don't.
I lived in Boston and New York before I came here, and it's not so long ago that if you wanted to find out what was playing that mm-hmm. night and you called a box office, they'd say, well, get on the number 104 bus and come down and check it out. Because they didn't think the idea of selling tickets was foreign. And people didn't do it. The concept wasn't there until about 30 years ago, which is amazing, but it's true, really, you know. Now everybody, and we were very siloed, as you said. People were, not only, they distrusted each other. Mm-hmm. We are not sharing our audience with you. Well, you know what? You are, whether you know it or not. you are. How does that work from a marketing standpoint? I mean, do you try to, you clearly can't avoid performing on the same nights because you are.
It's impossible now. With so much here in Columbus to see.
But there's also a lot of people who live here.
Yes.
You know, this is a major metropolitan city. Mm-hmm. And when people come down and they say, I had trouble finding a place to park, I'm like, good.
Yeah.
That means people are coming downtown. Plan ahead. It's a city. We should celebrate that.
Yeah, it is.
But it's true. I mean, I think we've been very good about that. Those collaborations we've done have helped to, mm-hmm. I think, cross-pollinate and increase interaction among our audiences as well as mm-hmm. our artists.
Every single one of you has collaborated with each other and other companies, mm-hmm. Even in the last year. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's true, you know, and that's healthy and it's invigorating, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I mean,
I
think for the artist and even for the staff,
I guess,
you know, it gets people so energized.
Well, I love that I can go to Ballet Met and walk down the hall through the offices and know everybody.
You know?
Like no, that's true.
It's great.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think when, I remember when we did, you're doing Shadowbox now, we did a big co-production with Shadowbox, Ballet Met did, and I had audience members who were like, I'm glad you're doing this. I didn't like it, but it's really exciting that you're trying something new. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the audience loved it, but even the ones, you know, people who were coming to the ballet, maybe they didn't like the rock, you know, score, but they were still excited that we were... You know, that we were trying something new.
And they probably liked it and didn't want to admit it.
Well, that could be.
We had that a lot, too.
It was like Evil Dead the Musical when we did that. And people were, that was a couple of years ago,
Evil Dead
the Musical.
And
there was a splatter zone because there was so much blood that the audience got splattered on.
Yeah. You
and
got ponchos.
And I would go out and I would say, good evening and welcome to Evil Dead the Musical. And half the audience would stand up and cheer like they were at a football game. And our subscribers were like... We clap at the end. Could you all sit down?
Well, we clap all the time, you know.
Really, but I got emails from them saying, you know, it wasn't my favorite thing, and I hope you don't do it again. But I saw a young audience there.
Yeah.
I saw new people, and they were invigorated.
Well, not only what do you hear from your audience, what do you hear from your singers, Peggy? Because they're working, they're singing in the middle of everybody in a restaurant situation every night. They're probably being asked to perform in a different way. What are you hearing from
them?
You
know, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. And it's something I have to address in the auditions, actually.
Really?
So I bring it up. I say, this is the space you're singing. You've been trained to sing in this space and with this kind of interaction, but it's a new day. So this is what I'm going to ask of you, and you need to know what you're in for before you even consider this offer. And what it's been across the board, everybody's like, this has been fantastic. To be able to look in someone's face and get immediate feedback.
Right.
I mean, opera, you're blinded. You can't see the audience. You never see, you're lucky if you see the conductor. So you never see the audience.
And he's so good looking, you said.
Well, yeah, this we'll have a spotlight.
Yeah.
I'm the Greek god. But Kostis is going to love this. I love it. But no, it's great. They love the interaction. They love the immediacy. They're getting, especially for Merry Widow, it's comedy, right? So
not always.
If they don't
laugh.
Yeah. I have to say our premiere was kind of quiet. And so we made cuts before opening night. We made 10 minutes of dialogue cuts because immediately we could tell. If you were on a stage, you wouldn't be able to see. You wouldn't be able to feel the reaction as well in the Southern Theater. But man, if they're standing, you're cracking a joke and you're right in front of you and they're not laughing, something needs to change.
A good thing, right?
Which we did. We learned.
All right. And Sherry, you recently had a dancer profiled in the local newspaper in the Dispatch.
Yes.
And I think I emailed you and said, well, if that's all it takes, I'm getting the power bars and the shakes in immediately. Because this guy had no body fat on him at all. I mean, he was, talk about your basic Greek guy. I mean, he was really a specimen here. But he was describing his day.
Yeah.
And none of us could do it, I don't think.
No, I think most people don't realize how many hours of work, you know, there's 6 hours. They take a class for an hour and a half every day. Then there's 6 hours of rehearsal. And many of these dancers then do go to a gym or they do cardio. And, you know, their diet is usually pretty strict.
Vodka and chocolate. That's nice to hear, yeah.
But, yeah, it's so I
have seen Edward eat sliders, I'm just saying.
Well, not yes. But, you know, Edward's not dancing anymore.
He's the boss
he still
now.
Looks like he is. I'm sorry.
I saw him dance.
Yes, he eats. He tells everyone the last time he danced was 6 years ago. But
that's not true. He danced in Putnam County Spelling Bee.
He did.
That's the last time he remembers dancing was 6 years ago. Right.
Yeah. But he must have a metabolism that's unbelievable.
It's unfair.
But people do think that the dancers don't eat anything. They'll say, oh, they probably don't eat much because they're so little. And I'm like, oh, no, they eat like pigs.
They're not that little because they're solid.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's very muscular.
What do you hear from your dancers in terms of the different spaces that they have to work performing and the different repertoire they have to do?
Yeah, they like the variety of repertoire. They really do. And we had a similar experience when we opened our performance space, which is just 225 seats, and the first row you could touch the dancers.
Right.
The dancers were not used to dancing in a space like that, and the original concept was there weren't even any wing space.
Mm-mm.
And Gerard, our former artistic director, wanted people just to see them on the side getting ready to go on and just sort of really strip down, like, here's what happens. And they're
they
like,
changed their tights, it got a little R-rated.
But then I think after a while they really started to relish that, and because they had all this feedback from the audience, both immediately but afterwards, like, this, I love seeing you in there.
Did you find that your dancers held back a little bit?
Yeah, I think
like that for this. My singers are like, you know, opera's a big old sound.
Oh, it is.
Hopefully,
if
you're doing it correctly. So I found a lot of my singers were pulling back their voice, and I said, no, they're here to hear you produce that sound. Don't shy away from this. So you found that with your dancers?
Yeah, I think so. Like there's a little self-consciousness of being, you know, that close to the audience. Just go for it.
Yeah, right.
So people like that kind of thing. But if I were a young dancer coming to you and you hired me for my first season and I had been trained to dance the big book ballets, the big Tchaikovsky pedipop ballets, and I hadn't done much of anything else, would I have a hard time fitting in?
I think some dancers have more facility, perhaps, for crossing over into different realms. But there's very few major studios or dance training that's just only ballet now. I mean, like in our academy and in our pre-professional training program, it's the basis, it's the core, but they're exposed to many other dance forms so that they can be versatile.
It's like I remember a time where opera singers didn't act, and that's a long gone time, but it's the same thing with dance as well. Stephen, I know Catco has done a lot of musicals and a lot of comedies, but what's coming up? And there's also a great deal of variety in programming. Don't wink at me.
We have done a number of musicals. The next one we'll be doing will be a revival of Forbidden Broadway, which we ran for 8 weeks.
Tell people about that. What is that?
Well, Forbidden Broadway is satire of Broadway shows. And there's a section in this one about Les Mis. And in it, there's On My Phone, which is about an actor who gets killed in the first act.
Really?
Yeah. He's killed in the first act. She's got nothing to do but check her apps until it's over. And there's the song's too high, which is,
whole show has gone right into tubes.
Right. No. So anyway, it's done in a cabaret style, 75 seats, and every seat was taken when we did it before. Yeah. So we're going to reopen in January, which is
How many 4 weeks in January.
Yeah.
We have 1 minute left, and in that 1 minute, I want you each to give us a thumbnail of what's going on opening nights and such.
Madam Butterfly, get your ticket, buy a subscription, dive in the deep end. November 22, 24 at the Southern Theater.
Date night. That's a night. And you also have Merry Widow continuing.
Merry Widow right now, Saturdays at 4, Sundays at 5 at Shadowbox Live, and that goes through November 17.
And it's free already. So
it is free. Great. Come, one all.
Don't tell her it's free because she won't go out with you. But anyway. Sherry Mitchell.
The Four Seasons Capitol Theater opens tonight and runs through next Saturday, the 16th of November.
And then Nutcracker.
Oh, Nutcracker opens the 12th of December and runs through December 24th.
That's at the Ohio Theater.
That is at the Ohio.
With the Columbus Symphony.
Yes.
And they're also playing for the opera as
That's
well.
That's true.
Right? Okay. And Stephen Anderson.
Fully Committed opens tonight, runs through the 24th, and then the Christmas Carol starting the 4th of December through the 22nd.
Speaking of Fully Committed, thank you, Stephen Anderson. Thank you, Sherry Mitchell. Thank you, Peggy Kriya-Dye. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is Listener Supported, WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus. And streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.